it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is a song called Viking by the band Los Lobos in honor of the Minnesota Vikings comeback win last night in Chicago.
Do you see many many signs that it's a Vikings town up there?
Well, you know, I'm not out scouring the city looking. I'm mostly walking around my neighborhood. But I did see there was a woman in the coffee shop I was in yesterday who was wearing a Vikings jersey. And then as I was walking home, I encountered a couple people who had some Vikings gear on. So, yes, people had their Vikings gear on. At least some did in preparation for the game.
The New York Times had a list of their 50 best places to eat now, basically. And two of them are up your way. Boucheron and Diane's Place, is that what it's called, I think? Those two? Do you know those? Have you eaten at them?
Is Diane's Place on the list? I thought Vinay. Maybe Vinay was on the list last year.
No, Diane's Place. It's Boucheron and Diane's Place.
Yeah, Boucheron, I've eaten at a burger place across the street from Boucheron, but I've not eaten at Boucheron. Diane's Place is a Hmong bakery that also has other stuff that's on our list to try. But there's another Hmong place. I think it may be the world's only Hmong fine dining restaurant, Vinay, that maybe was on that list last year that we actually went to a month or so ago.
Okay, so the only I was thinking other places where you might have eaten. You go to Birmingham sometimes. Bayonet is the one in Alabama. Have you heard of or been to Bayonet?
I have not, but we've eaten at Highlands Bar and Grill in Birmingham, which, you know, if that list existed 20 years ago, would have been on that list at some point. I think our list focuses on new restaurants.
Yeah, I think it's
And Highlands has won, like, multiple James Beard Awards for Restaurant of the Year, period, in the country. And it's a pretty, like, famous place, and that was really good.
And then the other three that I suspect, one in Jackson, Mississippi, called the Mayflower Cafe, Chattanooga called Calliope, and Knoxville called J.C. Hallway.
Yeah, again, I think that list focuses mostly on new restaurants, and we haven't been in those cities in any time in the recent past.
Okay, we have about a month or so before the Grizzlies report. So in order to help us get through to the month, I should send you these rankings in advance. I'll send you some rankings in advance. But Zach Harper over at The Athletic ranked players at every position. Okay, and this, I thought I'd start with wings, the top 40 wings. And what's striking about it, well, let's just think about the Grizzlies' history in wings. Do you would imagine the Grizzlies, and I'm not, you can't do a list off the top of your head, do you imagine the Grizzlies would have a top 40 wing?
Meaning in the NBA right now?
Yeah, in this, right now, yep.
No.
Jalen Wells comes in at 37.
I'd have to make a list.
Right.
So maybe.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I'm thinking of two starters per team. You know, that's 60 players. And there's going to be some players coming off the bench who are better just because of the role they play. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe that's right. I don't think most people like making lists actually watch every Grizzlies game.
Right.
So I think there's this idea of Wells that's gotten a little bit beyond what he actually did last season. It's not, I think Wells is better, but it's not all that different from like the idea of Zaire Williams' rookie year got a little bit ahead of what he actually did, like if you watched every game. And so, I don't know about that. Hopefully he'll be worthy of that.
It has really been a struggle, you know, and obviously Coward is the, you know, what you hope someday. Like,
he's the talent.
He's who in 3 years on the Grizzlies could be in the top 20 wings. Like, you'd like to have one, right? You know, you'd like to have one who's a legitimate top 20 wing.
there's a chance that a year from now, the starting wings for the Memphis Grizzlies are Cedric Cowher and whoever they take with the lottery pick from Phoenix.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could be Jalen Wells, but it could be Cedric Cowher and, you know, A.J. Abanza or whatever, depending on what happens with that pick.
Who are the Grizzlies? I'll get to the actual list here in a moment. It feels like they've been struggling to find wings for forever.
Yeah.
Like, was Posey a wing?
Yeah, I thought he started small forward.
Yeah, so yeah,
he was a wing.
Battier's a wing. Posey's a wing.
That team did not have a star on the wing, but had a tremendous depth. Because at one point, that team had Mike Miller, James Posey, Shane Battier, and Bonzi Wells. Like, that's four starting level players at that position. None of them were all stars, but like that was a good group.
It's funny, at some point, like, what's a two and what's a wing, right? Like, are those four? I mean, two of them really are. Mike Miller's more of a guy. Like, what are those guys? They're all wings.
When I hear the word wing, I think of twos and threes. Maybe right. If you're a smaller two, you're more of a combo or whatever. But, I mean, traditionally, there's the five positions are point guard, small, scoring guard, small forward, power forward, center. If you want to more generalize, you could say lead guard, combo guard, wing, forward, you know, then it gets a little murkier.
Yeah, it's he did it with five positions, so he did twos separately. Like, is Desmond Bane a wing?
So if you're doing five positions, why call it wing and I just call it small forward?
Exactly right. You can then call it small forward. I think you're right. Call it small forward. But it feels like there's, I mean, Rudy Gay. Of course, Rudy Gay might be a power forward in today's NBA. What's Rudy Gay?
During his time with the Grizzlies, he was a small forward.
He was certainly a wing.
Yes, he was a wing. His game changed, you know, over time. But when he was starting for the Memphis Grizzlies, he would have been considered a wing.
Greatest wing they've had?
Rudy Gay? You know, it depends on how you define things. You know, the Tony Allen, different kind of player.
Yep.
Mike Miller, Rudy Gay. Is Desmond Bane. You're not calling him a wing because you're distinguishing that from scoring guard. So, like, Rudy Gay, certainly, in terms of numbers he put up, in terms of talent he had, yeah, Rudy Gay is probably the best wing.
All right, here we go. Here's their list. These all-time legends still elite. So, again, it's different buckets. It's not a pure ranking. And that's LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi. No argument there, right? They're all still elite.
Unless you want to call LeBron and Kevin Durant power forwards, right?
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
You got to call them some, right? All NBA level wings. There you get Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, and Jalen Williams.
Thoughts? I mean, Paul George is not that anymore. I mean, the thing about these lists, and I've read some of the other ones.
Uh-huh.
They don't seem to be super well thought out. It feels almost like I'm kind of surprised it's on The Athletic, honestly, because it feels like just like random guy, like just, you know, taking half an hour to jot down a list of names. It doesn't.
I think because it's in his newsletter. I think that's what it is. Honestly,
right.
It's not five athletic writers came together.
Whatever went into putting together a list, it's not what Kevin Dalton would do. Where he would spend like 2 days on it and crunch numbers and like, you know, it feels very off the cuff to me. But like Paul George has not been that for a couple of years.
All-star level wings, Scottie Barnes, DeMar DeRozan, Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson could be the best wing in the league. You know,
as your Durant, LeBron guys either age out or you put them in a different positional category and. No, I think Amen Thompson can be an all-NBA player in the very, very near future.
These wings could be all-stars. OG Anunoby, Franz Wagner, Mikal Bridges, Brandon Ingram, Jaden McDaniels. Thoughts on that group?
Yeah, some radically different kind of players. Like Brandon Ingram and Jaden McDaniels couldn't be more different. Right. But qualitatively, you can sort of put them in the same tier. Brandon Ingram is not the kind of guy I tend to like. Like, that's not my kind of player, whereas OG Anunoby is very much my kind of player. And so I think Bogner is the biggest talent in that group in terms of putting, like, the whole thing together in terms of stats and scoring and total impact and what have you. If I'm winning a basketball game tonight, I think OG Anunoby is my guy. Brandon Ingram is not my guy in any format.
We should see a leap with these guys. Brandon Miller, Trey Murphy III, Cameron Johnson, Oscar Thompson.
I don't know if you're seeing
and Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I don't see a leap coming from Cameron Johnson.
He is what he is.
Very much is what he is. I think Michael Porter is what he is. He's going to play on a team that has no one else who can score, so his stats might take a leap.
Trey Murphy is what he is at this point, really. And
He's got to stay healthy. He misses games all the time. Yeah. I do think Brandon Miller and Thompson are interesting like names there. I think they're different kinds of players. Brandon Miller's a score-first player, and Thompson is a defense-first player. But I think they're both very good. And I think they're both guys, if you're looking around, like who could end up being like a most improved player candidate this year, like young players who can take a leap in terms of their stature in the league and the numbers they put up, blah, blah, blah. I think both of those guys are prime contenders for that in different ways. I think Brandon Miller could look up, and he's averaging 25 points a game this season for Charlotte. And I think Thompson, you could look up and he's averaging, you know, only 13, 14, but playing all NBA level defense and like is a winning player and a really good team kind of guy.
Then we have, and this is why I feel like these are massively important role players, which takes you to 30. And the fact that they don't have anyone in this category, I think, underlines the Grizzlies. You know, they really need Coward to hit for all kinds of reasons, obviously. Here you've got Keegan Murray, Tumani Kamara, Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins, Chris Middleton, DeAndre Hunter, Herb Jones, Keldon Johnson, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Denny Avdija, and Bilal Coulibaly.
Some real ships passing in the night going on in that group. Chris Middleton heading one way, and Coulibaly, and who's the guy? There's a young guy you said earlier. Yeah, Kamara like headed the other way. I love Kamara. Like I don't love as much as Amen Thompson, but he's like he is the poor man's version to me of what Amen Thompson is to me. Yeah. Like I think Kamara is awesome. He's on the short list of guys. If I could just pluck a non-star and put him on the Grizzlies roster, he'd be near the top of my list. Denny Avdija is like really good. Middleton is about done, maybe. I had something else to say about another one of those guys. I can't remember anymore who they were.
What? Tell me this. Cowards, what do you envision? Like, we have all different types of wings we have now discussed in this ranking. What type of wing do we hope he will be?
Man, it's so hard with him because he hasn't played since game six of last college season, and he didn't play in summer league. And like I've watched tons of like Coward YouTube stuff, and so to get a sense of his physicality and the way he plays, but like there's just so little to go on. I think he's gonna be he is both jump shooting and finishing. Like the numbers are absurd in college. He is so skilled. He seems to be so skilled as a guy who could make shots, both from three-point range and around the rim, that I think if he pans out, he's going to be a scorer. He's going to be, you know, maybe a 20-point game. He's going to be a guy. He's not going to be Tumani Kamara, especially I love Kamara. He's going to be a little bit more balanced towards offense, but also a good defender. So I don't have a name off the top of my head.
In any sense, as a defender, what he is or could be?
Well, he's got a sevens whatever wingspan. Right. I mean, he's got the good athletic size and athleticism. Right. I don't think he looks like a guy who can be at least an average to plus defender, if not like an all NBA level defender. But I think he'll be more of an offensive oriented player. So I think if he pans out, he's going to be like, you know, a second or third option on offense who is, you know, at least a decent defender, if not a great defender. So whatever that sort of amounts to. But I think it's just hard. I don't want to say too much with that. We've never played in an NBA context and barely played in a high-level college context, right? Like the range is all over the place. But I think the combination of athleticism, physical tools, you look at the wingspan, you look at the, you know, the combine, his vertical leap, look at all these physical indicators, and you look at he just makes shots everywhere all the time. I just think there's a very high ceiling there, but it's really hard to, like, pound the table about what he's going to be.
It's funny. One of the last group, and it's a totally random group, kind of regret I committed to 40 as the last group, but in it, for example, is Risa Shea. And a little bit like that, like, we didn't know what he was going to be. Like, there was – you had some Europe to go on a little bit, but, like sort of was a blank slate. And I think you're pretty hopeful about Risa Shea. I don't necessarily regret at all that I would assume he would be in the top 40, but he's in there with Caleb Martin, Kevin Porter Jr., Jaime Jaquez, Khan Knupel. Again, totally different players. Royce O'Neal, Jalen Wells, Derek Jones Jr.
I don't even know what we're doing at this point. Rose O'Neal is basically a power forward.
Right.
And Kevin Porter Jr. is basically a point guard. And this is why I say when I've looked at some of these lists, I'm like, it just seems there's too much of an element of random to this to me. Like, right. It doesn't seem like
maybe
a
the point guard
process.
List. Maybe the point guard list will be better because it will be point guards. It will be point right. guards. And we'll get to that list.
And Caleb Martin seems like he's barely in a rotation right now. And right. So I don't get it.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. What's your – are we putting too much on Coward? We have a lot riding on that for a guy who didn't even play last year in college, really.
Post-draft, I would have said yes. It does
– And then you get a summer league.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I almost think we're putting too much on Jalen Wells.
I don't think people think he's going to be any kind of star. I think people.
I saw a lot during the playoffs. Like the
well, I do think
that would be the difference.
I don't think anyone thought it would be the difference, but no one thought it would be the difference against the Thunder.
He would have been a better player.
He would have been a better player.
I agree with that. The result would have been the same.
It is, to me, striking. And one of the reasons they rolled the dice the way they did is how bare their cupboard is at wing. Now there's, you know, you got lots of, you got GG. If that, you know, again, what are these guys? You got Vince.
Yep.
Like there are candidates here. But there's nothing in terms of sure things. You've got a splendid point guard if he's healthy. You got a great power forward. If he's healthy and productive and whatever, and has been healthy.
Yes.
Honestly of late. You have maybe an answer at center if he comes back from his foot issue.
Yeah.
And you got crappy wings.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of questions at wings.
But you do have a lot of guys.
You have a lot of darts. You got a lot of darts, some of which are sharper than others. If you're looking for a new financial institution, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Go there to learn more. It's Leaders Credit Union, of course. Leaders Credit Union is a place that I talk about because we go, and it's terrific. The technology is great. Simple banking, easy, easy, easy. We've been looking at getting a mortgage, and there you're actually talking to people on the phone. Couldn't be, honestly, more responsive, more helpful, absolutely terrific. So if you're looking for whatever you're looking for, a mortgage, a car loan, just to shift your banking to somewhere where they seem to care and pay attention to you, Leaders Credit Union would be a place to check out. LeadersCU.com/ESP. And before we get to Fishman, let me just see, because he's going to take us to the end. And there's a couple other stories that I did want to get to. One is, did you see Mike Vrabel said that Bill Belichick is welcome at the Patriots facility?
Yeah, I mean, felt like he would probably.
Well, he didn't really. All he said was.
It's also an easy one to say.
All he said was he came back for the Brady thing, so therefore he must be welcome.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's actually welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's an easy thing to say in the middle of football season when you know he's not going to be showing up.
Right. And then, and Brock Purdy, we mentioned this briefly, could miss time. George Kittle.
Definitely missing time.
Is definitely missing time. But if it's no Brock Purdy, you know who's there now?
That would be Mac Jones.
How do you feel about Mac?
I mean, if Shanny can get it done.
I think, honestly, weirdly enough, now, of course, they don't have any weapons now either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's.
They got no weapons now. Weapons are hurt, whatever else. Ron Jennings seems like he's okay and probably will be good to go.
Pearsall, I like.
I like Pearsall. Yeah.
He made some nice grabs on Sunday.
It's fun. It's fun to have the NFL back. Oh, and if you're selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty would be the place to go there. I do mean that. Rates might be coming down. We'll talk to Fishman about that But if you're thinking of taking an instant cash offer and you're getting besieged by all these places making texts, phone calls, whatever, entirely from out of the market, let's be clear, don't do that. Instead, get in touch with Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams and say you want to do the instant cash offer. You heard him talking to me about it, and how's it work? And they'll say, well, here's what's going to happen. Josh is going to come out to the house, and he's going to tell you what it's worth, and he's giving you a full price offer for your home, and you're going to have up to 4 months to hand over the keys. And you're like, that's cool. That's better than going through this mess that you have to in order to sell your house. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. That's where you find him, JoshHasTheBuyers.com. Fishman coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C., author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap and the Extraordinary Efforts of Ordinary Americans to Get Us to the Moon, also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins me now. What do you want to start with, Charles?
Well, I want to start with something that happened right here at Fishman Wilson headquarters. I watched two football games this weekend.
That's exciting.
The exciting one.
Well, you might
Buffalo,
want a medal.
Baltimore,
want a medal? Uh-huh.
And Chicago, Minnesota. And here's what happened. I turned on. I was Chicago was my favorite team growing up in Miami.
I remember
why
that.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
And I turned on the Chicago game last night after Jeopardy. My wife and I trying to really get ready to be 78 years old. Watch Jeopardy most nights.
Yep.
And,
bird feeders. You got bird feeders out there. You got hummingbirds. You got all the old people
bird
stuff
feeders,
going on.
Yeah, bird feeders and Jeopardy.
Now you're going to the gym. Yep.
And I'm going to the gym. Just to do weight-bearing
right,
exercises
exactly,
so I don't shrivel
yep.
up and die.
Uh-huh.
Right. Anyway, turn on the Chicago-Minnesota game, and here's what my wife of 29 years said, the Pulitzer, double Pulitzer Prize-winning uh-huh. Trish Wilson. Why are we watching a football game again? We watched one on Sunday, first football game in, you know, whatever,
right.
18 months. And then I turned on another one. Why are we watching football again?
That's a fair question.
That's the question.
Kind of it's that time of year.
And I did. I went to bed on the Buffalo Baltimore game and then woke up and watched the end.
Right.
Because of the puppy, whom we don't talk about anymore.
What we care about is your sleeping schedule. That's what we do
right.
on this
show. Okay, but here we go. Tell me about this restaurant. Tell me one more time.
I don't know.
There's a restaurant on the 50 list.
Called Calliope.
In Knoxville, right?
No, it's in Chattanooga called Calliope.
The word is
Calliope.
Calliope.
Okay.
Calliope.
Damn it.
I knew
I was saying it wrong. I knew it. Calliope.
Is a Greek god, but also isn't there a musical instrument?
Yeah.
Okay. For people who
thank
have to
you.
Go looking
thank
for
you.
The restaurant.
Thank you. Thank
Calliope.
You. Thank you.
We want.
What
we like to keep things. We like
Calliope.
To keep things
God, I feel like an idiot.
Calliope.
It's an.
Calliope.
It's a keyboard instrument.
And
yes.
My goal is to make you feel like an idiot. And
I totally feel like an idiot. I know what words mean. This is the most. This is my one superpower,
yes,
and I totally screwed it up.
I wasn't surprised that you got it wrong.
I am surprised I got it wrong. Calliope.
Calliope's a pretty minor Greek god.
No, not because of the Greek god, because the instrument.
God.
I know Calliope.
It's an instrument, right. It's Calliope.
God, Calliope, what an idiot. Just shoot me. Put me down now. God.
There you go. Anyway, we just needed to clear that up for the
Big Apple event
like,
today. There's
Calliope,
an apple.
Calliope.
Calliope. What an idiot. You say Calliope, I say Calliope. It's Calliope. Unfairness, you're writing a book about Stead's Terkel, and you call him Terkel all the time. So even now, you're still doing it.
I also pronounce Elon Musk's name wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
So
we all have our weaknesses.
I can't even tell you which is
right. What's the Apple event? There's an Apple event today? What's the Apple event?
This is it, man. This is the big event of the year every September when we introduce
the new stuff,
the new iPhone. And
and also a whole bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
People look forward to it. Do you remember what year the iPhone was first introduced?
2007.
God, that's very good. Very good.
I just got it randomly.
2007.
Calliope,
right,
baby.
2007.
Calliope. Was it 2007? So, did I nail it?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. June 29th, 2007. My mom's
birthday. This is redemption, Jeffrey. That's redemption right there. Okay.
That is some redemption. That is
for, it's also my wedding Calliope. Anniversary.
June 29th is your wedding anniversary.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said 27th. June 29th is my dad's birthday.
No, June 29th. Okay. Let's move on. We haven't gotten to any substance yet. And
what's
what's
going to happen? What are they going to do? What are we going to see?
Well, it's the 18th year, so it's the iPhone 17 introduced today. And the excitement about the iPhone 17 is that there's going to be a standard model, a pro model, and something people have nicknamed, we don't know the actual name, the iPhone 17 Air, which is going to be really thin. How thin is it going to be, Jeff?
How thin?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
The phone you're holding is about 8.2 millimeters thick, you know, about half an inch. The iPhone 17 Air is going to be 5.5 millimeters thick. It's going to be not, it's going to be a little more than half. But it's going to be a third thinner. That's kind of amazing. If you look, just turn your phone on edge and look at it. So that's interesting. I don't.
How'd they do it? Ozempic?
Need a thinner phone? Huh?
The Ozempic? How'd they do it?
Exactly, Ozempic. They just rubbed Ozempic on an iPhone 6. Exactly. No. I think we'll find out how they did it. The rumor is, it's going to have fewer cameras, differently designed, because cameras need a little width, you know, to give the lenses. That's why the lenses stick out of your phone, in fact. And also new battery technology might not last as long. Here's the thing, though, and this insight comes from a consultant that I rely on who's deep in the world of computers. That would be my graduate student's son.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no one cares about this phone being 5.5 millimeters. In fact, some people may be like, I need something to hold on to. That's
right.
Like a Ritz cracker. It's too thin.
Yep.
He said this is preparatory for the big event next year, 1 year from today, when they will introduce a folding phone. And if you're going to have a phone that folds in half and then unfolds in the folded mode, you don't want it to be twice as thick as your current phone. That won't work. So what they're doing is getting ready. Now, a folding iPhone is going to be kind of crazy. Like this glass screen will fold in half. And you so there'll be in the folded mode, there'll be a screen there. And in the unfolded mode, the screen will be twice as big. I don't need a folding iPhone, but that's what they're getting ready for. So that'll be interesting. And then there's going to be new watches, new AirPods. People are actually kind of meh. They're meh about this event. People are usually wound, for you, as if the county fair was opening today.
Right.
As if it was a big event. People are not that excited, so it'll be interesting to see if there's any surprises. I think I have an iPhone 14 that I'm very, very happy with. I mentioned to my wife, this is very rare that we mentioned my wife twice in the same segment, that the new phones were coming out, and when did we buy her a new phone? And she said, and I quote, "I love my phone. My phone works great. I don't need a new phone."
Look at that. That's the spirit.
So
that's how I feel about my 2006 minivan.
So anyway, it'll be interesting. I watch the Apple events live every time.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been bored. It's at noon Memphis time, apple.com. They're fun to watch. They are such masters of showmanship, even when they have nothing to show.
All right.
So it'll be fun.
Moving
to
right along, we had. So this has been a thing. How we calculate employment numbers, and how come we go back and revise them? And so today, employment numbers have been revised, and they've been revised downward. Is this for last month or for last 2024? What are we talking about here?
So this morning, the Bureau of Labor Statistics announced revisions to the official job numbers for every month from March 2024 to March 2025. So that's the last 9 months of the Biden administration and the first 3 months of the Trump administration, March 2024 to March 2025. And they revised the job numbers down by almost a million, 911,000 jobs down.
Is this when you say jobs, do you mean hirings? What does that mean, jobs? People in jobs or hiring?
Employed people.
Okay, employed people.
These numbers are how many new jobs were created that have people
new
in
jobs.
Them.
Okay, we're not counting and the jobs that exist. March, we're counting new jobs.
We're counting additions. And not postings, but additions into which someone was actually
real human hired. Being.
March 2024 to March 2025, we had 1.8 million jobs before 10 a.m. this morning. Now we have 900,000 jobs in that 12-month period. So down by 76,000 jobs.
And what are people saying? What's
that's
the significance
kind of brutal.
Of this? And why, A, did they miscount it the first time? And is it something?
You want to know the significance or the miscount?
Both. I want to know both things.
Well, the significance is that means the economy is shakier than we thought. There's a million fewer new jobs than we thought there were. And that comes on the heels of having revised down just the last 2 months, we revised down 200,000 jobs. So two things are going on. When we do the revisions, we're not going up, we're going down. So whatever the jobs were, whatever we thought they were, they actually weren't that strong. Hiring is not as strong as we thought. And the significance of that is the economy isn't as strong as we thought it was. We rely on these numbers. A separate question is, why does this happen? This morning's news happens every year in the first week or whatever this is, the second week in September. We revise the previous year, and then we revise them again in February. Two big revisions, statistical revisions. And usually it doesn't get any attention except from economics geeks and journalists, reporters. Here's how jobs work. Every month, the Bureau of Labor Statistics surveys 121,000 employers of all kinds. They survey those 121,000 employers account for a third of all the jobs in the country. Political polls, remember, do 1,000 people to represent 300 million.
Right.
Here we're surveying literally a third of the jobs. But you're relying on people to reply to the survey.
Yeah, I heard an economist saying the response rates are getting to be shaky.
Well, they're getting to be shaky in that they've gone down from 85% to 72%.
Okay.
Right? They're still fantastic compared to polls where you get a response rate of 1 in 30. Here you get a response rate of 7 in 10. But these people are enlisted. They understand how important it is. They're busy. So what happened? These revisions, today's revisions, are based on state tax data for every one of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. People file their state tax returns for their businesses, and among the things, among the data in those is how many employees they had. And so you go back and revise with real data.
First one survey generated, then you revise based on real data.
There's nothing pernicious except that are we doing this the right way? You don't want to be off. We were off by 50% for a whole year.
That's bad.
So we can. No one's committing fraud, but are we doing this in the most statistically sound way? Anyway, there you go. So nothing pernicious. You got to understand how it's done. But the whole point is we need reliable data, not data that's accurate a year after we released it.
And then we've had Jeffrey Epstein's the book that was presented to him on the occasion of his 50th birthday. Donald Trump did or did not, depending on whether you believe Donald Trump or not, submit a message and a drawing, which you can see pretty much anywhere.
He clearly did submit a drawing.
Right, that's fine. Yeah. He says he didn't, though. So I want to make sure that we get his denial in there. The autograph does match up with autographs, the signature that that he submitted at the time, where he autographed other things, whatever. It's weird to think that you would have a fake Donald Trump like submission
30 years ago
in order to own.
But anyway,
what struck you about the birthday book? They released
the
whole book.
I just wanted to make one observation about the birthday book.
Yeah.
The birthday book has 238 pages, so he had a lot of friends and acquaintances. You couldn't get 238 people to speak to my character on my birthday. Every one of them is about sex. Every one, like all the pages.
It's a slight exaggeration. 20, his mother wrote one, and it did not have anything to do with sex.
20 or 30 of them have been released, and the ones that you can go look at, all of them talk about sex. If you assembled a birthday book for my 50th birthday, I don't think sex would come up. If you said to people,
it is kind of amazing. Think about doing a birthday book for anybody, and would even half the references, or a third of the references, or a quarter, or 10% have some sort of
be a sub theme?
50th
it's
birthday.
And so what that tells you, that tells you two things. First, I clearly live a very constricted life. And the second thing it tells you is every single person who knew Jeffrey Epstein, at least the top 238 people who knew him, knew that he was obsessed with sex and obsessed with sex with young, with girls and young women. And it was so whatever Donald Trump and the whole rest of that gang say, they were all Donald Trump's page features the outline of a naked female form.
That's true.
Several people drew breasts on, like, I can guarantee you that if you solicited a birthday book for me prior to
no breasts would make an appearance in the birthday
anyway,
book. I want to jump around because you want to get to some things. Tell us about this reservoir thing. There's a water story that you want to touch on.
One quick item. We spent a lot of time talking about the Reese's Oreo cups and the Oreo Reese's cookies.
Yeah, we did. Probably too much.
Ago.
Yeah.
They are on the shelves. You can go. I haven't found them yet. You can go buy them in your grocery store. Maybe we'll run a poll if you've tasted them. They're getting reviews on Twitter. They are out. You can go buy.
Okay. While we're on this topic, tell me about homes for sale in the South.
I don't have that much to say, except the number of homes for sale in the South is 312,000, more than ever for sale in the southern states of the United States in history. People want to move. We talked about the fact that the number of people moving is as low as it's ever been. That's double the normal going back to about 2000. That's double the typical number of homes for sale in the southern states, usually 150 to 175,000, 312,000. But what's interesting is you would think that would be bringing the prices down, and it's not. People want to sell their house, but they're stubborn about what they want to get paid. And the result is that houses keep coming on the market and no one can afford to buy them. So what that portends is a housing crash sometime coming soon. Watch out for it.
Water.
This is such a crazy story. A research team from Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in Massachusetts, and composed of a dozen countries, prospected for water in the continental shelf off the coast of New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Maine, all the way up the coast there. And they found a reservoir of water underneath the Atlantic Ocean that is absolutely vast. They thought it was going to be enough water underneath the seafloor, fresh water, to supply New York City with water for 800 years. It's more than that. They sent a research ship out.
So there's an ocean out there, and then under the ocean floor, there's fresh water underneath the ocean floor.
There is fresh water. It's a little bit like the oil, right? We go drill for oil underneath the Gulf of Mexico, underneath the North Sea.
Gulf of America.
The water's mixed. The water's mixed with sand, so you'd have to get it by the same way we get oil. And they don't know what's in it, although this is the kind of water that's under Memphis. So it's not clear that it'll help us if we run out of water, but it's a fascinating development. It's as big as the Oglala in the Midwest.
Sounds like we're going to Calliope is the word. Calliope, ladies and gentlemen. That's the magic word for the day.
The reservoir Calliope in honor of getting that.
Sounds like we're going to have to get the big cardboard box story next week, Charles. We're not going to get to that.
Cardboard boxes next week. Have a good week, Memphis.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.
Watch the apple a bit.
That's Fishman on Twitter, at C. Fishman. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson will join the program, as will Dan Williams. Tim Murray will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Our Work Is Done.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.